Anyway, in the Bible this morning in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, and the Bible says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, as been said already, for the day and for the singing. And Lord, now we thank you for your word. And the most important thing is, Lord, that today we hear from you. I pray that each one of us is acutely aware of your presence, Lord, here among us. Speak to each heart, Lord, whatever their need is. Lord, we know you can meet every need, and we're thankful for that. And Lord, as I put it into your hands now as I preach, Lord, I bring to remembrance what you've laid on my heart. Lord, I pray that each one will be encouraged. And Lord, for that one that may be lost, we pray for their salvation. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message I have this morning is Shame on You. We see the Apostle Paul says in this text that he's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And when I was away on my trip to Colorado, you know, we're reading the Bible, of course, and went to church service there. Sometimes it's good when you're sitting in a church service. And I'd already had this thought on my mind about that word ashamed, the word ashamed. I had it on my mind, and I was listening, and I listened to Brother Thornsley preach, and, you know, some things, he wasn't preaching about that, but just the way God works, he lays some things on your heart, and I got a piece of paper and wrote some things down that would go along with this. But, you know, we see that when I started thinking about that word ashamed, and, you know, you can do word studies in the Bible, and back in Genesis 2:25, the Bible says, and in reference to Adam and Eve, and says, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. It said they were not ashamed of their nakedness. And of course, we know that later on that sin entered into the world. And when sin entered, the very first thing that Adam and Eve did was they went and they sewed fig leaves together to cover. They realized they were naked and they covered their nakedness. Now, you know, sin, when we think about sin and sin entered the world, and, you know, sin on the one hand, you know, sin is fun. You know, I mean, if it wasn't fun, you wouldn't do it to start with. Everybody knows that. And there's parts of sin that we say, man, you know, there's sins that are addictive, and there's sins that, you know, they're pleasurable, and there's sins that are fun. And we wouldn't do sin. As I said, it wouldn't be a problem if it didn't have that aspect to it. And there's so much more, though, when we think about what the fact that sin entered into the world did. There's a lot more than, you know, as you start to think about it more, and you've thought this far along as well, or maybe even farther than I've thought about it. But, you know, we know that sin did a lot of things, and none of what sin did really was good as far as what it did to us as a human being or as a race. You know, number one, it broke fellowship with God. It broke fellowship with God. And it ruined our relationship with God. It also is what ruined our relationship with fellow man. You know, a lot of times in life, you know, we have problems with people, and people have problems with us. Well, that's all a result of sin. And there's a lot of other things that it did, but that's some of the big things. When you look at Adam and Eve and their relationship with God and with each other, you know, right off the bat with Adam and Eve, you know, they were just that comfortable sitting around naked. Now, and I believe this. This sounds kind of odd, but I believe if there had been a lot of other people in the world and everybody was sitting around naked before sin entered in, everybody would have just been comfortable. You know how uncomfortable you would be if we were all sitting here without our clothes on. I don't know about you, but I would. But it's because of sin. I mean, it's because of sin entered in, and that, you know, that's what happened. And so really in a marriage relationship, you know, you get married, it takes a little bit of time to get back over that uneasiness that came between Adam and Eve after sin entered. But all the things that they had never felt before, and I know I've preached on this before, and it comes up in my mind a lot, though, stuff that's hard for us to even take it away from our mind, that when sin entered, that they felt so many things happened to them. They probably were wondering and even talked to each other like, what has happened? Because they had never felt shame. You know, we've all been ashamed of things. They've never felt shame. They had never felt fear, because they became afraid of God. They'd never been afraid of God before. It's like all of a sudden, all these emotions, what's going on in our life? They'd never felt embarrassment, worry, never had to worry. We can't even imagine that, can we? What it's like not to worry. They never worried. They never had doubt. And all kind of things like that, I don't know if you could even write them all down, all the things that happened to humanity because sin entered into the world. You know, they had enjoyed God. Before sin entered into the world, they enjoyed God. We talked about this in our Sunday school class, and I didn't think about it even when we were talking about it in our class today, about what it meant. We talked about what it meant to walk with God. Noah walked with God. What it means to walk with God, and we were talking, you know, we talked about obedience and things, but there's more to it than that. It's just the enjoyment of God. That's what sin took away from us. And you know, and when you think today, you go out and there's people out there, boy, they don't want anything to do with God. Why? Because of sin. See, sin took that desire away. It just took it out. And what happened was sin entered the world, and now you go out and you want to talk to somebody about the Lord. They'll talk to you about anything, but you want to talk about the Lord, they don't want to talk about it. They don't want to see you with the Bible. They don't want to get near a church. They don't want to hear preaching on the radio. It's just like this negative thing. No, I don't want to have anything to do with it. There's fear involved there. But they can't enjoy God. Adam and Eve never had a problem. They enjoyed God every day until sin entered in the world. And then later on, then they hid from God, and God came and talked with them in the cool evening. They were hiding, and they had covered up their nakedness and all the other things that entered into their life. It's a mess. But, you know, I'm going to tell you, as a Christian, when you get out of fellowship with God, you get into sin, you're going to be out of, if you get into sin, you're out of fellowship with God. I mean, we're not perfect, I know that, but, and we talked about this too in Sunday school, what's the difference between people like Noah and those that God used, David and Noah? We know they weren't perfect, we know they had sin in their life, but what's the difference between those people and other sinners? You know, the difference is this, is that they really had a heart's desire to do, to please God. It wasn't a list of rules and regulations that they felt like they had to obey to keep God from getting angry with them. They just wanted to please God. And they had a heart for God, and they really enjoyed God. And I'm going to tell you, when you really get filled with the Spirit, and you're on track, and you're trying to be obedient, and you're just trying to be closer to God, if that's what your heart's desire is, I'm going to tell you, there's a difference in loving God and enjoying God than just going through the motions or feeling like you have to follow a set of rules and regulations to keep everything straight. You know, it's just different. It's just enjoying God. And they enjoyed God. And I don't know that all Christians always enjoy God. And I know the lost don't enjoy God. But they did. And sin took that away. It took it away from us too. And they hid from God. And they worried. And they were afraid. And they didn't want to see God. When you know, you think about this, we've come a long way from that point. But those of you that, I'll date some of you, in the old days when they'd advertise cigarettes on television, remember Virginia Slims, right? Remember it said, we've come a long way, baby. Y'all remember that? We've come a long way, baby, since then. Because, you know, this is what made me think about it. It's getting to the point now in the world that there's less and less things, and with some people, probably hardly anything, that makes people feel ashamed. They're not ashamed of anything. When Adam and Eve, when sin entered in the world, this is how far we've come. When Adam and Eve, when sin entered, first sin entered into Adam and Eve, and it entered into man, they saw their nakedness, and they sewed fig leaves together to cover it up. But now we've come to the point where the world is getting so shameless that they're taking more and more clothes off. You know, the style is, and people are dressed, you know, they're covering themselves up less and less and less. There's no shameful thing, or people feel less and less shame. Now, most of us have lived long enough in our time, we've been embarrassed about certain things, and you know, embarrassment, which causes shame or causes us to feel shameful. I read about a lady that had a, this will date some of you too. How many of you remember way back, probably in the 60s, when they had horns? I guess you can still get them. You get a horn for your car, and you push certain buttons, and it would play a stanza, maybe the first stanza to the songs. Remember those? Now you know how old you are. You know, young people going, I don't know nothing about it. But they had them. They had these horns. You get them for your car. I remember my neighbor had one, man. We used to get aggravated with them about it. But there was a lady that had one of those horns. It played the first stanza to 48 different songs, this horn play. And her daughter kept bugging her. Her daughter didn't like it, kind of embarrassed about it. And her daughter kept bugging her, said, you need to get rid of that horn. She goes, nah, I'm not going to do it. I like my horn. I'm not going to do it. Well, that lady had an aunt that died. And this horn had a tendency every now and then, and the reason her daughter wanted her to get rid of it was that when it got cold or certain types of, sometimes it would just get stuck, go off on its own, play a song, just anywhere. It might play something, you know. And her daughter said, look, you got to get rid of it. So they're at the funeral, and they're getting ready. They went down to the funeral, and they went to the cemetery, and they buried the lady's aunt. And as they were driving away from the cemetery, the horn had one of its little episodes, and it got stuck on that song, We're in the Money. And from that day, she got rid of the horn right after that. There was another lady that I read about that she was had a big dinner party planned for that evening, and she cooked a pot of spaghetti sauce, and she left the spaghetti sauce she forgot and left it out on the counter all day. And by the time she realized it had been sitting out all day long, it was too late to make any more, and she wasn't sure if it was going to be safe to serve the guest. And so she called the Poison Control Center and asked them about it, and they said, yeah, just go ahead and reboil it and everything. Everything ought to be fine. And so she did that. And later on during the dinner party, there was a lot of people in the room. And during the dinner party, the phone rang, and one of the guests that knew her real well answered the phone. And on the voice on the other end said, this is the Poison Control Center. We were wondering how the spaghetti sauce turned out. So, you know, a lot of times you can get put in what you call an embarrassing situation. But, you know, when you get back to sin and those things and we talk about shame, and it just seems there's things that go on and on and on that the world is less and less ashamed or shameful about. I read, somebody wrote this, is when a person ceases to be ashamed, it's the end of their character. When a person ceases to be ashamed, it's the end of their character. When we look in relation to the text that I read in Romans chapter 1, you know, sin causes us not to be ashamed about that which we should be ashamed, and causes us to be ashamed at those things that we shouldn't. Paul said this, he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And that might imply, and I believe this is true, it might imply that there were people that were ashamed, and might have been people in the church that were ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, as I said, sin caused us sometimes to be ashamed of the one thing or the one person that we shouldn't be ashamed of. And when Adam and Eve, you know, when they had hid from God, they had never hid from God before, and they had never broken fellowship, but sin, you know, causes that to take place. And so now when you see the lost, as I said, there's been people, not everybody, but there's people that are, I've seen people that just turn into cowards when they see you approaching with the Bible. I've seen people run in their house, honestly, Stanley and I, or no, me and Brother Frank one time, pastor that was here before me, him and I pulled up at those apartments down there across, when you go across the bridge and turn left on 43 and then drop down there by the river, those apartments. We pulled in there one time. We had white shirts on and ties. Maybe they thought we was Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses. I don't know. But I got out with my Bible, and I saw a guy on a porch. He was 100 yards away. He saw me getting out of the car. He dove off the porch, went in the door in the house, and shut the door. And I went up there grinning, and I started knocking on his door, and he would not answer the door. That afraid of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What causes that? What causes that to take place? How did he know? I might have been Ed McMahon coming in there and giving him $10 million. And he didn't know. He wouldn't answer the door, but he saw that little black book that I had in my hand right there. And, you know, he was afraid of that. And so, as I said, you know, they run, they hide, they don't want to hear it, ashamed of that. But, and I understand why a lost person would be ashamed, because they don't know. But why would a Christian be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Why would you be ashamed of this? Huh? You ever put your Bible where nobody can see it? If you got it in a bunch of other books, stick it underneath. Huh? Hide it in your car somewhere and make sure nobody can see it. Afraid to pray out in public when you sit down at a restaurant somewhere, afraid to pray loud, or you don't have to holler it or be an idiot, but afraid to pray, or afraid to say that you're a Christian in certain circles, just depending on who was there. Why would a Christian be? And I know in Jesus' day I can understand. And why there might have been some shame at first. Jesus was a Jew, not the top tier people, because Rome ruled at that time. Jesus was poor. Jesus was crucified, and that's a criminal's death. Normally, you wouldn't want to be associated with a criminal in any way. It seemed like he was only, he seemed like a nobody. He was only around for a short time, and then he was gone. I understand that part of it. But then he resurrected. Man, he resurrected. You know, we like to be name droppers, don't we? You know, you kind of, if you know somebody important, or you went, say, this past weekend, if you happened to go to somebody, if you knew a king or somebody real important, some sports figure. Yeah, the other day I was, me and Derek Jeter was just chatting on the phone and, somebody real important. We like to drop names about that. Oh, yeah, this guy got resurrected from the dead, and he's a really good friend of mine. And I tell you, it's unreal, the things he told me about being resurrected from the dead. You know, we would like to, Twitter, Facebook, whatever we want to do, we would broadcast that. And he resurrected. And then he came into the lives of the believers, and they were changed forever. And so why would a Christian have a tendency to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ? Well, I'm going to give you four reasons why you shouldn't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, and that'll hopefully cover all the bases for you. Number one, the gospel. It says right there in the text, Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. You know, the word gospel means good news. How many of you like to get good news? We all like to get good news, right? Sometimes we even like to spread bad news around. How many of you like to tell bad news? If you hear it first, don't we like to be the first person to tell somebody something they hadn't heard before, good or bad? It doesn't really matter, right? Hey, did you hear about that? Well, let me tell you all about it. Huh? Yeah, I remember one time when I was a kid, some guy's barn burnt down. Man, I was running around telling everybody, hear about it? Old man Oliver's barn burnt down. Old man Oliver's barn. And I went around and told everybody about the barn burnt down. It was exciting. Had something new. And if you had good news too, hey, you're giving away $1 million. That never happened. But, it would be good. That's what the gospel means. And the thing really, when you think about what drives social media, a lot of what drives social media today is you want to share information. You want to tell somebody something, and hopefully it's good. What would be more exciting than if somebody was resurrected from the dead? I mean, man, we'd be on the horn. You'd burn your phone up. You couldn't type fast enough. You'd be calling. You'd be leaving messages. Did you hear about this guy that resurrected from the dead? Hey, well, we have a resurrected Savior today. We still have the same news, a resurrected Savior. We hear these terms over and over and over again where it loses its meaning. You see, thinking about that, a resurrected Savior. There are people in the world that they've heard the term, but they don't understand what it means. Those are the people that we ought to be excited about telling them a little bit more about what it means. You might have been ashamed of that poor crucified carpenter, but he resurrected from the dead. See, Rome, Rome was the ruling nation, the ruling people, but they, as powerful as Rome was, they couldn't raise anybody from the dead. They didn't have anything else. What would have been a bigger news than that? I mean, because death, isn't that cloud that hangs over everybody's head? It's kind of out there, and then as you get older, you got more behind you than you got in front, and so death is, and that's kind of a cloud. But if somebody can do something about that, listen, it's not only good news, it's the good news of Jesus Christ. Another commercial when I was growing up, and a lot of you remember this one too, they said when E.F. Hutton speaks, everybody what? Everybody listens, right? Let me tell you what, when Jesus Christ speaks, he got more to say than E.F. Hutton ever thought about saying. Huh? Why everybody listened to E.F. Hutton? Or so they said. I didn't listen to him. Yeah, because it had to do with money. All about money. Oh, let me hear. I'll tell you what, E.F. Hutton wouldn't have much to say today. Because it ain't going up, it's going down. But everybody listen. Listen, God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, he's got a word. He's got a word. He's got good news, man. Why would we want to listen to what Jesus Christ? As I said, we've got the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's not a higher power. There's not a higher authority. Hey, if you want to drop a name, I'm a child of the King. Just thought I'd mention that. Yeah, I'm just a child of the King. Been born again. Been saved. Gonna have eternal life because God of the universe is living in my heart. Just thought I'd throw that out there, not bragging about it. Huh? That's news. Man, I know somebody, there's no greater power, there's no higher authority than you can know than Jesus Christ. Huh? Why would you be ashamed of that if we're going to brag about some man or some woman that we might know on this world? I remember when I was in the Navy, I had a little stretch where I got to carry secret documents. You know, it sounds kind of neat. But I would take them from communication where they came in, and I would take secret documents to different headquarters around that had to have them. You know, I could read them. I mean, I had the clearance to read them and all that. And there's a lot of stuff that goes on in the world that we don't know anything about when we're back here reading the Roanoke Times and World News. You get in the flesh a little bit when you're doing something like that. You know, kind of secret messenger. And I had a vehicle. They had something for me to drive. And I could pull up right in front of headquarters and park. Nobody gave you any lip. They knew who you were. They knew what you were carrying. They knew where you were going. You could stroll right into the captain's office. I mean, you couldn't be disrespectful or anything. Hey, Cap, how's it going? Now you had to, you know, go through protocol and all that. But you got to go in, you know, have the thing. I had the secret messages. I had a message, man. I wasn't ashamed that I was the messenger. I wasn't ashamed that I didn't want to get shot or anything, but I mean, I wasn't ashamed of it that I had it. I had it under my arm. Yeah, you know, when you got in there in the command, you got the little satchel under your bag. Everybody knew what it was. They didn't mess with you, and you went on in. And you go in anywhere you want, and because nobody would give you any lip about it. Man, you was proud of that. Well, listen, we got better news than anything that came in over communications about what's going on in the world. We have the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Word of God. This is God's Word. Why in the world would you be ashamed of it? Why would you not read it? I mean, it's meant to be something besides a coaster for your coffee cup in the morning on the coffee table, right? Which is something I never do, by the way. Not that it's any power in just the book, but it's the Word of God. Why would we be ashamed of that? We shouldn't be. You know, we've been entrusted as Christians with the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Never be ashamed of that. It's good news, and the second thing is powerful news. Nobody's usually ashamed of power. Like if you got the winning football team, if your football team's whipping everybody up, man, what do? You get your football jersey on, huh? You got it on there. You got all kind of junk plastered all over your car. You got your flag flying off the antenna, man. Everybody's jingling their car keys, and you know you do all kind of crazy stuff. But if your team's getting stomped like every week, and you know you're down at the bottom of the thing, you know you kind of stash all that stuff, kind of put it down. Yeah, that's it. Don't you know you don't want to. What's your favorite team? You kind of under your breath, you know, Redskins. You know, kind of say, huh? we got a fella in church right here. Every time his football team loses, you don't see him in church for 2 weeks, huh? but I mean, you know, you would. You got power when there's power. And when, you know, when God has done a powerful thing in your life, why be ashamed? And I thought about this. Maybe that's the problem with a lot of people that are ashamed, that are claiming to be Christians, that are ashamed of the gospel. Maybe it's because God hasn't done a really powerful thing in their life. Maybe it's because they're not really saved. You know, if I was claiming to be a Christian and had no evidence in my life, I'd keep my mouth shut too. No victory over sin and no fruit. You know, I like reading in the Bible about the people that Jesus went to. And this has popped up here recently a lot in the reading I've been doing, and I've probably shared it with you guys some. I love the fact that we talked about this a while back. The Great Commission to us is go in all the world and preach the gospel, and we won't do it. And there were certain people in the Bible, you know, there was a blind man, and there was blind and lame and lepers and those, and Jesus healed them, and he said, listen, don't go tell anybody about it. And they could not, for the life of themselves, keep their mouths shut. They went out and told everybody about it. Man, I've been saved. I mean, and I've been changed. Look at me, I was blind. Can you imagine if you were blind, and you've been blind for 20 years, and all of a sudden you were instantly healed, and somebody said, well, don't tell anybody about it? You got to be out of your mind. I'd be telling, man, you ain't going to believe it. If somebody you didn't know, I was blind for 20 years. I only been seeing 3 days. Man, it's great. Look at this. Look outside. Look at what I see. There was one man born blind. I always liked that guy. And he was brought before the Pharisees and questioned about it because they were trying to accuse Jesus of being a sinner or some kind. And you know, that guy said this one thing. He said, I don't know whether he's a sinner or not. All I know is I was blind and now I see. He said, man, I'm here to tell you about it. And they kept asking him. He said, I told you once, you didn't listen the first time. Why are you going to believe me if I tell you the second time? Listen, if Christ has done something for you in your life, you shouldn't be ashamed of that. Amen. And the third thing we shouldn't be ashamed of, the reason we shouldn't be ashamed, is delivering news. Rome was the world headquarters as far as power was concerned. They had the largest military power in the world. They were the wealthiest nation in the world, but it was corrupting from within. A philosopher, Seneca, called Rome a cesspool of iniquity. Juvenal called it a filthy sewer into which the dregs of the empire fled. It was the perfect place for the gospel of Christ. We read about Rome and cities like Rome and people like that who lived in Rome. But what about us? What about us? People sometimes say, you know, so-and-so is a good person. And I know what they're talking about. We know people that they're generally speaking, they're good people. But the Bible says there's none good. No, not one. That our righteousness is a filthy rag. The word salvation carries with it the meaning of deliverance. And, you know, and Paul wrote Romans 7:24. He said this, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? It's Jesus Christ. I used to always wonder, before I got saved, I'd go by churches and on the signs it would say, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. Answer to what? Everything. He's the answer to everything. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That's the answer. Why would we be ashamed of that? Salvation implies the idea of safety, preservation, healing, soundness. Three tenses of salvation. The Christian has been saved from the guilt and penalty of sin, is being saved from the habit and dominion of sin, and will be saved at the Lord's return and from all bodily infirmities that are the result of sin and God's curse upon a sinful world. That's the three tenses of salvation. That's good news. Huh, that's good news. I'm glad this isn't it, that there's all there is to it. It's nothing to be ashamed of. And the last little point, give you this real fast, it's inclusive news. It said to everyone that believe it. There's not a race of people, not a group of people that's excluded. There's not anybody. It's good news for every single person in the world. There's good news. It's for everybody. We shouldn't be ashamed of that news. Jesus said in Mark 8:38, in closing, I'll say this, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh into the glory of his Father with the holy angels. And then Psalms 107:2 says this, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, and shame on you if you're saved and you don't. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. All right, let's all stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. I pray for us, Lord, that we'll be not ashamed of your words, Lord, not be afraid to tell others about you and what you've done in our life, Lord. Help us, Lord. I pray for those ones that may be here not yet saved or not sure about their salvation, Lord, to get that matter settled in their heart. Lord, we got many things in the world to be ashamed of, but you're not one, Lord, and I pray for us in that area there. Have your will and way in our invitation time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.